You know, Carl, we have a very interesting gentleman with us at this section of Smith Sabatino.
Yes.
His name is Craig R. Hover. He's a licensed professional engineer with more than 30 years engineering, management, project experience, all of that. But his expertise, Carl, is on global warming.
I'm quite interested.
Now, to me, this is a personal subject for me, as you well know.
Absolutely.
And I know we've talked about this many, many times.
Absolutely.
He's written a book. It's called A World to Come Home To. It explains the politically charged and sometimes confusing topic of global warming in terms that the average person, you,
yes,
me,
yes,
can, you know, readily understand. And, it cuts through the frequently self-serving propaganda, the twisting of facts that clarity sometimes never comes through. So with that introduction, welcome, Craig Hover. Thank you very much for being with us on Smith Sabatino.
Thanks, Roland. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, I'm delighted. To start off with, give me a precis of where we are in the globe today in terms of global warming.
The global warming problem, as you know, has been coming on gradually for decades. And most people have not been personally affected by it that much. So they probably kind of think that it's not that much of an issue. But what we're seeing is that the global warming problem, of course, it's driven by airborne carbon dioxide, as is pretty well known. But what we're seeing in the in data coming in from the field, particularly in the Arctic, is that the problem is actually deteriorating more quickly than what the climate models have predicted. The big problem, I like to think of carbon dioxide is just the kindling that's threatening to light the real global warming bonfire, which is uncontrollable methane releases coming from the Arctic as it thaws. A ton of methane released into the atmosphere is equivalent to almost 200 tons of carbon dioxide. So there's a huge multiplier there. And once the amount of methane being released from the thawing Arctic coming from permafrost and subsea deposits starts getting into the atmosphere, there comes a point past which we can't rein it in. And the experts that are working in that area, particularly in the northern climes like Alaska and northern Canada and Russia, what they're seeing is data that is pretty scary, frankly.
You know, Craig, why do you think that we have intelligent people in our government who insist that global warming is a manufactured issue?
It's really sad, but the whole global warming problem is not a political issue. It's just a manifestation of the Earth's physics, and frankly, the Earth doesn't care about us. It doesn't care about our politics or economics or anything. It just does what it does. And I think that it's been unfortunate that some people within our elected offices have chosen to turn it into a political issue. The data and the consensus of the scientific community is overwhelming. The typical number that's thrown around is there's a 97% certainty that in the scientific community that this global warming problem was being caused by unremitting carbon dioxide emissions. It personally is beyond me why people can continue to deny this. It's dumbfounding, frankly.
Mr. Hoover, Carl Sabatino here.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. This is a topic that, and Roland knows that I'm very close to. And one of the areas that I'm particularly concerned with is the ocean currents. And I had heard a couple of weeks ago, and I'm trying to backtrack the story, that on the current direction that the climate is taking, that the ocean currents will be affected necessarily by the nature of what's happening in the rest of the global environment. Is that true?
The feedback loops are somewhat involved, and changing ocean currents as more and more thermal energy is accumulating on the planet from the accumulation of carbon dioxide, it will affect the currents. It'll affect the atmosphere. We can see that already as far as the atmospheric manifestations, where the winters and all are getting much more severe on the East Coast, and the drought here in the West is continuing to march on seemingly relentlessly. There will be an effect from ocean currents as well.
Where do we come to? I'm sorry, Ron. Where do we come to a point of no return?
It's looking like, based upon the recent data that's coming in, that the old climate models did not incorporate methane effects into their calculations. They're still working on incorporating those models, but based upon data that's coming in from the field, we need to be attacking this problem with everything we've got. I'm talking about a large-scale mobilization, like as if we were going to World War II. Within 5 years is when we really need to be on this thing completely.
Now, do you have a solution that you offer in your book, Ending Global Warming in Our Lifetime?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, when I was investigating this topic, it got scarier and scarier the more I dug into it. So it's no good, as far as I'm concerned, just to talk about the problem. Let's find a solution. There's basically three things that we need to do to actually stop this thing. We have the ability to be able to temporarily cool the Arctic. I like to think of it as a planetary triage, if you will, due to geoengineering solutions. They're not ideal, but it's kind of like being a chemotherapy to try and save the patient. So it may have some unsavory side effects, but we have to cool the Arctic as quickly as we can. The other thing that we need to attack on a massive scale is getting carbon dioxide out of the air. That's coming from two parts. One is we've heard about carbon sequestration processes, and also in the power plant generation, and we also need to deploy what are called air scrubbers that have been in development for actually pulling carbon dioxide out of the air faster than the forests will do. Even though the forests themselves pull about 8.8 billion tons of carbon dioxide out of the air every year, it's still not enough. The other thing that we need to do on a massive scale is, frankly, we have to abandon the use of fossil fuel. We have the known technologies with solar and wind and also hydro to be able to completely replace our power generation with those technologies. In fact, the rate at which those are being deployed, we can actually divorce ourselves from fossil fuel before the middle of this century, and that's not just for electricity, that's for everything. That's
so you're basically talking 25, 30 years.
Yes, exactly.
So have we got that much time? We've got 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry about we can't keep you over for.
Let's bring him back, though. But we're going to bring you back.
Yeah, but anyway, we've got 30 years to try to do this. Can we eliminate fossil fuels in 30 years?
Yes, we can. As a matter of fact, the growth rate that's been going on in the renewable industries is such that is achievable. Just extending the growth that we've already seen. 20-30% per year is what we're seeing. That can actually make us fossil free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you could talk to all the people of the world just right now, what would you say to them in 1 minute?
In 1 minute, I would say that what we need to do is take massive action as the people themselves. We need to implement large-scale nonviolent action, as has been seen in such places as India, getting out from under the thumb of the British, women's suffrage, Vietnam War protests, civil rights movement. These are all instances where the people have finally woken up to the point where they have to take the problem on themselves, because, quite frankly, our political arena has failed us miserably.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Craig R. Hover, appreciate it. The book is Ending Global Warming in Our Lifetime, and I recommend it. And Craig, come back and visit us again, please, to keep us updated on what's going on with the global warming.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fascinating. Fascinating. That's a topic that we could spend a lot of time on.
Well, you know what? I think it's our responsibility to not saturate, but certainly to keep people informed as to where we stand so that they can make conscious choices.
I agree. Couldn't agree with you more. And we'll stay on this, ladies and gentlemen, because we are Roland Smith and we are Carl Sabatino. This is Smith Sabatino America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like an easy way to make sure your child's aspirations come true?
Good luck with your dastardly plans.
So your kid comes home and says, Dad, Mom, I want to be a rock star.
Are you insane?
Don't laugh. Work with it. Here's the science of it. What your child wants to be when they grow up can be valuable teaching opportunities. So when the child announces, I want to be a rock star, then encourage them to practice their music. If they want to be a physician, get them involved early with people who need help.
Dude, I service society by rocking.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Tinker, tailor, soldier, spy, no matter what, break the occupation down into smaller activities and apply them to the child's current daily behaviors. The more real you can make it, the greater the likelihood your child will achieve it. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green. Harrison with you. ADHD or attention deficit disorder seems to be a problem with almost any American kid these days. But in Europe, new research indicates the chemicals in common food dyes can disrupt children's behavior, and European consumer groups are asking for bans or limits on the dyes. Even British doctors are putting some children on dye-free diets as a first-line treatment for certain behavior disorders. And British regulators are now pressuring companies to stop using food dyes since ADHD cases have skyrocketed in past years. Here in the States, the FDA says food dyes are safe with no plans to limit their use. So as we think more greenly, as always, eating food in its most natural state is always the healthiest.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.